Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir and I'm joined this week by Kerry Warbis. Peter Fickling is away glamping stroke camping again. Kerry, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, he sent us a picture of his tent and some sausages, didn't he, last night?
He did.
Yeah, it was sort of flaccid looking sausages, weren't they? They'd just begun to be fried in the pan.
Yeah, one of them had like a rainbow tint, which always gives me a bit of a worry. It means you're going to end up with a stomach like George's.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I thought, oh, he's going to be ill, but he's alive.
Yes, he's absolutely fine. We haven't heard anything otherwise, so he's all good. So we're not going to be rushing off from the bull to rescue him. Also, Kerry, we had a slight hold up to the beginning of the recording because you were making important business decisions regarding your kitchen flooring.
Yeah, one of our five-star reviewers, lovely Charlotte, wants a sewage crisis update. So, Charlotte, I have had to choose some lino this morning because last week a man came and he made my floor good. And so that involved plastering. So it's not plastering, is it, when it's on a floor? But, you know, he covered up the drain with a board and he put like concrete all smoothly over the top. Probably not concrete either, which we had to not walk on for hours and hours and hours. And now lino should be arriving next week.
Well, there you go, Charlotte and other listeners. Kerry has done her lino duty this morning. So if there's any algorithmic gods, there will now be a flooring ad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, Kerry, where are we going to start? Patstival? Festival Pat?
Yeah, Cotstravaganza. Who would have imagined Toya Wilcox would appear on The Archers?
There was some speculation, even Peter did it last week, didn't he? And there were a lot of people mishearing and hearing it as Cotstravaganza on The Archers. And I put that into Google and then quickly went onto Twitter to tell everyone, do not put that into Google. It was quite unpleasant, I have to say. But maybe it was Cox with an X for Wilcoxtravaganza because she was headlining.
Ooh, yeah. I was going to say it was Cox-stravaganza because Mick showed up.
What is he like? A total twat.
He's a cock, isn't he?
I've branded him Mick Shagger.
That bloody band name, Scarlet Rupert, that he made up.
Yes, what? Up there with League of Gentlemen's creme brulee, isn't it?
Ah.
Oh. Although he said it was an 80s band, didn't he? So they wouldn't have been like 70s prog. 70s yeah. Prog is more Robert Fripp, Toya's husband's thing, isn't it?
That's true, yeah. But his jokes are appalling, aren't they? They're not even sort of bad. They're just not jokes at all.
Yeah, he fed a dustpan and brush instead of a hedgehog. Well, you need to get your eyesight tested, mate. That's not funny.
Is this why he thinks Joy is attractive? Because he can't fucking see.
Is he local as well? I mean, because he seems to have, both he and Toya have no issues with driving from wherever the hell they live and coming to Ambridge. He's coming to the Bull. Is Toya going to show up at the fete?
Well, she did get invited by Pat, didn't she? Who couldn't tell that Toya was Toya because Toya had a hat on, even though she's Toya's biggest fan and knew the lyrics and everything. I did put on Twitter that all Tony needs to do is put a hat on. And Pat won't recognise him. And he can go about his business in peace forever.
Isn't there a Toya album called something like Sheep Farming in Walthamstow or something? If I imagine that. I'm sure we had an album in the house when I was a kid. that had that title.
That sounds like something the Archer's scriptwriters would make up, Matthew.
I'm sure she had something that was agricultural, but in an urban setting as a title of an album.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I wasn't a fan of hers, I must say, musically. I was not a fan.
I am a fan of those crazy videos she makes under lockdown with Robert Fripp in their kitchen where they do covers.
Yeah, but isn't that mainly because her tits are jiggling up and down?
Yeah, she does let it all hang out, doesn't she? For you, it's a mystery.
Yeah, so Mick and Joy.
Go on.
Well, I'm just imagining them chattering away because he's a right chatterbox and so is she. The pair of them together, if we have to hear them at any length, is going to be quite annoying. Do you think she had her suspicions because he started off by lying and Pat was like, oh, it was just a joke. But she's trying to protect herself, Joy, isn't she? She's wary of this incomer.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst lie, was it? And he didn't keep it going forever. I think that's the line of defence we're going with. But he's incredibly annoying. I mean, whether he's going to show up to the fete or not. Isn't Joy doing some bits at the fete? I've lost count of all the weird events that are happening. So what have you got? You've got Weigh the Rosie. They're all going to smash Will's pots in some kind of massive confusion that it's like a hit the crockery with a cricket ball. Toya shows up in full makeup. They're going to assume she's a witch. So we're going to dunk the Toya. And then you've got Adil racing on a terrier. Or did I imagine that?
Yeah, they're going to have terrier racing, aren't they?
Well, they have sheep racing where my dad lives.
Oh, they put little knitted characters on the sheep.
They do. Did I send you a photo of that once?
Probably. Yeah, they're going to have a Ferris wheel. This dunk the vicar thing. Oh, my God. Would they have a massive... Because normally you might throw some sponges at someone in the stocks. But actually having a contraption that you fill with water that someone gets dunked in, that's quite high tech, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to throw something and it's like a mousetrap style thing, isn't it, the game? And it's going to manoeuvre the person into the water. And what better person to have than someone who's absolutely terrified of water and cannot swim doing it?
Yeah, an aquaphobic is perfect. Yeah, why did she say yeah? I mean, she did say, oh, I'll help doing anything to Linda, which is always a huge mistake, isn't it? And also, she did say to Linda, oh, I could be beat the goalie. I've played a bit in my time. And I thought, oh, that's good. She's a lioness.
Yeah.
Immediately, that was ignored because of Harrison. But that was a shame, I thought. She might well be a decent footballer.
On the much easier thing that could have happened on Linda's doorstep was Pip could have just stepped in and said, I'll do the dunk. I mean, because everyone would love to dunk Pip, wouldn't they? And then Stella can do something else rudimentary, which doesn't, you know, risk her having a massive PTSD attack. Anyway,
yeah,
the solution to that I found all a bit strange, really. But she's gone to Felpersham Baths, and what other people in the pool must think when they just look down there and there's one woman shoving another woman's head under the water
and counting.
Yeah.
The worst part about that episode was Pip's undulating tones being echoed in a municipal swimming pool.
She offered, if you want to get extra practice in, you can come round to Rose's paddling pool. I was like, isn't that like about 3 centimetres deep?
Yeah, you can come and we can do some practicing in the washing up bowl in my kitchen.
Yeah, and if you're not sure about cycling, you can have a go on a balance bike as well, Stella.
It's so fucking ridiculous, isn't it? The kayaking thing, I get it. That is a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? Where your sort of legs are trapped in a tiny little canoe kayak jobby and you spin over. That is horrible. I don't like the thought of that and I wouldn't ever dream of doing it because of that. I get that that would be a fearful situation.
Yeah, I think I've had an actual fear of that as a kid, that happening, which made me not go in a kayak or a canoe. So I I can sympathise with that. It's all going to be fine, isn't it? There's no way this is going to end badly now.
Yeah, Stella drowns.
Yeah. Awkward. Does the fate still go on?
Yeah, probably. Didn't you think, going back to William's pottery, I mean, he sounds so weird when he's talking about the pottery. It was quite funny, wasn't it? My tutor says I find something in clay that comes from inside me.
Yeah.
It's like shit, basically.
Yes. I mean, Ed kind of beat us to the punch with the joke there, didn't he? He was like, you can get pills for that. I get the impression that Will's tutor is high as f***, don't you?
Yeah, off his face.
Yeah.
But it is weird because they're trying to, because William is awful, isn't he? He's absolutely awful. But they're trying to give him this sensitive side by making him suddenly be a Potter. It's quite a stretch, isn't it? I do quite like the comedy angle, though.
This all originated from him trying to have empathy or understanding with Mia and her studies, wasn't it? So he signed up to night classes.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, I really do hope it goes well for him. But I reckon there is going to be some mix-up where people think it's a smash the pottery store. Just going back to Toya and Pat not recognising it, have you ever done that? Have you ever been in the company of somebody when you've been at their gig and not realised you're talking to the person?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I was trying to remember last night. I don't think I've actually had it happen to me. I know a couple of people it's happened to. My friend Cassie was at a Buzzcocks gig a few years back and was, I think she was hanging around like kind of the stage door to try and get them to sign something. And Pete Shelley came out and she got talking to him about getting something signed. And he said, oh, come backstage if you want. And she said, well, won't the band mind? Not realising she was talking to the lead singer. And he apparently just looked at her quite puzzled and went, no.
Because he's quite unassuming looking, isn't he, Pete Shelley? You know, you can imagine someone sort of not really realising he's the front man.
Yeah, I think he looked quite a little bit different to what he did in his boyish heyday and even later in the 80s. And I'm sure some other people I know have been talking to somebody who are in the band and not realised. I mean, many years ago, a friend of mine was passing the Bristol Beer Keller, knowing that a new up-and-coming band, the Smashing Pumpkins, had been playing. And she got talking to some guy outside and said, was it any good tonight in that gig? And he was like, yeah. And then she saw in a music magazine the next week, it was the lead singer, Billy Corgan. She'd been asking, like, did you have a shit gig tonight, mate?
I was at a gig last night, Hot Chip, and almost the opposite was happening. Like, pretty much everyone in the audience looked like they could be in the band. It was one of those. Because Hot Chip are a funny bunch. They just look like blokes. And so there were loads of blokes in the audience. It was a really good gig.
I assumed that you were having a great time because the one video you sent me appeared to be you collapsing on the floor.
I know. I was trying to show you the lovely, lovely smallness of the venue. It was really, really good. And I sent you some sort of shit, didn't I? I can't remember what it was that lasted just about 5 seconds.
Yeah, from the camera angle, it was the wall. And then suddenly the camera went down to the floor and I was like, oh, Warbis has had a few.
Yeah.
There is a statue here of who it is, I'm not quite sure, down by the Clerics Tower downtown. And the lead singer of Hot Chip seems to resemble this statue a lot. I'm just going to send it to you now. Have a look on your WhatsApp.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the glasses.
Yeah. I don't want to set the cat among the pigeons here. I can't stand Hot Chip.
Oh, Matthew.
No, I can't abide them. And I bought Made in the Dark when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to give this a go. I just don't get it. Part of the problem was as well, they were getting so much overkill on this alternative radio station I used to listen to in Dublin.
All right.
Phantom 105.2. I was just like, I don't like it. And I've bought the album and I've listened to it and I don't like it. And then around about 2007, a bunch of my until then normal friends drifted into Nathan Barley style hipsterdom. So they all started wearing like yellow skinny jeans, ironic Crocs and wearing a bin liner and a fedora. And I remember going to a party once that they held.
And they loved Hot Chip, I'm guessing.
They loved Hot Chip. And someone at that party told me that Made in the Dark was better than Mozart.
Ah.
And there is a counter argument to that, which is, no, it's not.
But this is a man who likes Highlander, so I'm not going to take any credence in your judgments.
Well, lucky Peter's not here to hear your critique of Dire Straits. We've also got from this Pip storyline, we've got another of those I'm leaving, no I'm not, I'm leaving cyclical stories with Toby, where someone, I mean, we've had, Kirsty was talked out of going to manage Locomotive Plovdiv by Linda. Then we had Amy's leaving and there was that last ditch thing with Chris almost saying like, you don't have to go, but she was like, well, if you don't love me, I'm leaving. Then we had Shula, which Lillian and Justin already announced that they had a replacement. And Justin's critique of that was, why would you tell her we had a replacement? She might leave earlier. And I was like, no, you've done everything you needed to do here. God's work, arguably. is what you've done here. But now we've got Toby. He's off to Stratford upon Avon to sell wine to restaurants.
Yeah, Pip is horrific. The episode began with her going, "We're doing really well, aren't we, Toby? And really, she's doing really well, isn't she?"
Has she been in the paddling pool?
Yeah. And she then said to him, "Are you not bothered? You have one word answers." Oh, you're just so vile. How patient is this man to share space with you? He said he felt like an ironing board at one point, because he's just chucked in the cupboard when he's not needed. I mean, poor sod. So much about his life is awful, you know, having to share it with her. And then he said, "Oh, I've had something on my mind, you know, Robin has offered me a job and it's away, la, la, la." And you could hear Pip like, not liking this because it's not something I've decided. And then she ran with it and tried to encourage him, which felt very odd. And then she was talking to Stella saying, "Oh, I don't really want him to go." Oh, God, make your sodding mind up. Stella was quite good with her, wasn't she? She just said, like, stop dicking around and let him do what he needs to.
Didn't he come back within the space of the one episode and say, "I'm going to stay, I've decided"?
Yeah, because he can't bear to miss the day-to-day bits of Rosie's life. That was it, wasn't it? Then Pip went, "Well, she's going to school, isn't he? It doesn't really matter."
I would speculate that Stratford upon Avon to Ambridge is probably not that much of a commute.
Mm.
Yeah, even if you wanted to base yourself there, which Robin seems to want him to do.
Mm.
Now it's left that he is leaving, and Stella said, "Don't try and change his mind."
Yeah.
I mean, surely that Toby and Pip should get on great, since Leonard did that mediation a while ago where he tried to help them, didn't he, and listen to Toby's problems, and Toby just went, "Well, she walks around the house barefoot and her feet are minging."
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. Nothing pleasant about the woman, is there? Can you think of anything?
Well, I did used to have a bit of a crush on Pip, to be honest.
Matthew.
Well, but she is quite annoying as a character.
What was your crush based on then?
I think seeing a photo of the actress.
Oh, okay, that's different.
Yeah, I think so. Her still photo on the Archer's website is pretty nice as well. But yeah, okay. She's very trying, isn't she? So
yeah,
she's done her good deed this week in helping Stella get over, well, how did Linda phrase it? Aquatic insecurities?
Yes. Oh, you've come here with your feeble excuses.
I mean, has anyone got involved in this fate that wanted to? Adil didn't want to do the palmistry. Will's up for it. You know, foolishly, because he doesn't know what's coming.
Didn't Eddie say to him as well, "Are they actually pots?" And he went, "Not really." Again. So he's, "What are they? They're just blobs."
Yeah, Oliver said they had a strange beauty, didn't he? Which is a polite way of saying that they actually do look like a turd. Quite a long time ago, when I was still living in Dublin, my dad started frantically messaging me on WhatsApp going, "Have you got the BBC on? Have you got the BBC over there?" And I was like, "No, I don't have it." And he was like, "There's an ornament next to the newsreader on the BBC that looks like a giant elephant turd." He said, "Turn it on now." And then he started sending me photos of it. And then he later said, "They've cut away to something, cut back, and it's gone." He said, "So someone in the production room has been like, why is there an ornament that looks like a turd right next to the newsreader? Can you get that off the screen?" I'll try and dig out the photo somewhere that he sent me.
And you think that might be what Will's pottery looks like?
Well, it certainly had a strange beauty. Let's just say that. You know why elephants have such unique turds? It's all the iced buns they carry. Tracy and the Chicken Factory.
The HR.
HR. Maybe, are you able to lend a bit more of a professional insight into this, Kerry?
I didn't think he was very good, to be honest. And if you have a meeting of that nature, normally they should have got someone with... Tracy should have had someone with her, I think. And yeah, it was quite an informal chat, but he was laughing at some points, wasn't he? It's okay, well, you can't, you know, I've spoken to Gemma Prentice, and she's provided me with lots of examples. And you're just saying she smiled at you and didn't invite you to the pub outside of work time. It was like, this isn't, are you writing this down? Is it, you know, you need to have set questions, make notes of them. It wasn't done properly. He was awful. I felt for Tracy because that awful, it was like being gaslit, wasn't it? When she's being bullied, but now the bullier is saying she's being bullied by Tracy. And the case sounds quite reasonable as well, doesn't it? Especially with Chelsea buckling her car.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon dynamic, that, isn't it? When the bully tries to turn it on the bullied. I mean, also, Tracy, she tried to, was it Ray, wasn't it, who worked in HR?
Yeah.
She tried to blind him with science at one point when she went, "You've got this ass about face."
Yes. I mean, it came to Trace, it was a real shock for her, wasn't it?
I thought he handled it quite well in it. He was just very informal. But this is probably just my lack of experience in this kind of situation. And I don't ever recall being called in by HR. Mm. I've been called in by a couple of head chefs a couple of times.
Yeah, I've been a chair of a meeting several times, having to deal with disciplinary matters. But yeah, you wouldn't normally do it that way. I mean, it's a chicken factory though, isn't it? It's not like a sort of global corporation like I used to work for.
They gaslight the chickens as well, so to be expected.
I'd really love Tracy to just go shove your job up your ass and just walk out and have done with it. It's a shame that she's so reliant upon this great money she's making.
On first listen, I wasn't entirely sure that she was being honest when she got home, that they had come to this agreement about dodging each other.
But
maybe we'll still find out that that isn't quite the case. But he had all of Gemma's evidence, didn't he?
Mm.
But surely Tracy could have said, oh, she shut down the assembly line once and humiliated me in front of all the workers. All right, the Geordie Shore comment, that happened outside of work. And like he pointed out, the exclusion of the girls' night out or whatever it was.
But nevertheless, that sort of thing, you still are a representative of your company outside of the workplace. And if you've invited everyone in the workplace bar one person to a social event, that could be construed as exclusion.
I think it's going to be quite hard to separate a line worker and a supervisor on a permanent basis. So I'm not entirely sure that this is 100%. But if it's got the lawsuit dropped against Chelsea, that helps.
Yeah, I mean, that private prosecution sounded very peculiar. I'm not sure why anyone would set up a private prosecution against a teenage girl. Like, really, would that happen? And I agree, like, at the end of that, when Tracy said, oh, you don't have to worry, it's all been sorted, I thought, yeah, are you being economical with the truth here about the fact that a formal complaint has been made about you?
Well, the contact was made to Chelsea, wasn't it? Not to Chelsea, to Tracy. So obviously acknowledging that she's not 18 yet. But anyway, yeah, good to know they're dropping the lawsuit. And also Russ worded the letter.
Yes.
For her to send to Gemma. I would have enjoyed that scene when he had to keep telling her to bring. Anyway, I'm sorry, you big fucking twat. No, Chelsea. What did we say?
Yes, don't call it the cowmobile.
I thought the cowmobile is what Tony drives.
When he's giving Pat a lift.
we did a lot of Pat chat.
We did. Let's wang that in. I loved it when she turned into a mafioso and sort of went, she's a good friend of mine. I would hate to see her get hurt. As if she was going to sort of kneecap him or something.
What could she threaten Mick with?
A good souping. Like waterboarding, but soup.
Oh, very nice. Hey, look what I found.
Pat chat. Pat chat. Pat chat.
Pat chat.
Pat chat.
Happy now, Kerry?
Yes. Hurrah. Yeah, Tracy, I wish she could just leave and get a different job.
Well, it doesn't matter because Brad is going to end up with a load of dollar that he's going to drop anonymously into Tracy's account. And she will know not from where it came. Except, no, that's not going to happen because he's accidentally killed his cousin.
I think his cousin's accidentally killed himself. Or hopefully has. That would be great, wouldn't it?
So they're turning the cider shed into a vaping laboratory. Have I got that right? Is it the cider shed they're using?
It wasn't clear. I don't think it is because Eddie said, I saw you hanging around the cider shed in a cloud of smoke. But then they talked about, oh, there's this shed that's empty. He didn't call it the cider shed, did he, that they could use for their lab?
No, that's where my doubt started to creep in.
This is not in any way a totally ridiculous storyline, is it, boys and girls?
I mean, let's just get the gags out of the way. They've been flying around Twitter. Mm-hmm. I received a few of them last night. So we've got Vaping Bad and the best one, I think, Breaking Brad. There was also a little bit of discussion over who the particular characters of Ambridge would be. So we had Fallon as the Gus Fring chicken store owner. I guess Harrison would be Hank, like, yeah, completely oblivious to everything that's going on around him until the very end.
Wouldn't Usha be someone as well? Usha, because there's...
Usha would be Saul, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we had a couple of Better Call Usha tweets last night. So he's sampled these wares. Has he been hit on two levels here? Has he touched this chemical that he shouldn't have touched early on? It was nicotine in a solution of, propylene glycol.
Yeah, propylene glycol, which is a poison that can be absorbed through the skin. But then he had this call with someone called Dredger.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
It was Tomo's lad, and we don't know anything else.
Yeah. It was after the Dredger call that he suddenly began to feel ill, didn't he?
He's definitely rough, isn't he? He's not putting this on.
Yeah, yeah. Because Eddie was really playing it down, going, oh, he's just slacking. He doesn't want to help fix the gate or whatever it was. And then William immediately thinks it's sepsis.
Everything is sepsis, yes, as far as Will is concerned, isn't it?
If you're slightly hungover, sepsis. You know, yeah. If you're looking a bit clammy and nauseous.
I reckon there was sepsis in that 17th pint at the ball last night.
Yeah. So what the bloody hell has he done, George? Has he eaten it or something?
Brad told him you can't sell the first few because they might be dodgy. And he said, well, I'll just sample in small measures.
Brad should have said, yeah, you do that. Quite a few of them, quite close together. Do lots of sampling, yes.
Yeah, well, they were getting on a little bit better this week, weren't they? But that's only because George needed Brad and he came clean about that.
Yeah.
Eddie does seem to be in on the scam, doesn't he?
Yes.
Or at least he was willing to be in on it.
What a ridiculous thing, though. All of it, awful, awful. Because he said it was a homage to great-granddad, didn't he?
Yeah.
Making hooky stuff and flogging it. But seriously, do kids make vape? I don't think so, do they? And I loved how he said, oh, I need a scientist. And then Brad sort of went, I'll need some pipes, some clipboards, and some flasks or something.
Yeah, I need someone who can add up the price of two coffees, chicken roll, and a salmon quiche to help me in this chemical illegal bootlegging industry.
Yeah, and he's such a scientist, he knows that you can't just use washing up gloves. You've got to have proper gloves to do this. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. And they think that kids will flock from around to buy slightly cheaper vape. I mean, I don't know how much vape is. It's probably not a lot, is it? Anyway.
I'll hold my hands up here and say that I have no idea whether this is believable or not. I think that kids are probably finding something slightly more illicit than vape to be playing around with.
Yeah, and all the flavours that they said. What was it? There was some sheep Texel flavour and newly mown hay or something.
Cow dung.
Yes, some people like cow dung.
They're going to get a letter from the same solicitors that contacted Tracy when Adam and Ian find out they've stolen all their pizza topping ideas.
There's no way that, and then they're making enough money to get a Maserati. Oh, and then Brad wanted to, his apart from putting cash into Tracy's account, which was quite sweet that he thought of that, he wanted a Darth Vader figure, didn't he? An early Darth Vader figure.
I can help him out with that.
Can you? Have you got one?
I've got one somewhere. It's in an attic in Ireland, but yeah, I think I've got the original Darth Vader.
All right, Lee. Yeah, so he's a proper, when he's not dressing up as Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's collecting Darth Vader stuff.
Just on a Lee tangent there, I noticed that Ryan was celebrating getting his Irish citizenship on Instagram recently. And I wrote, as the cider shed, the queue to marry early starts behind us. And he replied, the answer's yes.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah.
Lovely man.
I don't know. So we've got a massive polygamous marriage to look forward to with Ryan. If he's up for it, Peter can be quite kinky.
Hurrah. Like the sound of that. Speaking of kinky, which isn't kinky at all, the Justin Linda thing.
He got stuck indoors with Linda, didn't he? Lillian's gone off to the ball to dish more dirt on the locals to Adil.
Yeah.
He was worried that Robert and Linda were going to Morris dance around the B&B. I don't think so. If they don't allow singing in the shower, I'm sure the hosts don't Morris dance.
Or reciting a poem or something, wasn't it? He said as well. What sort of evenings do they have there?
No fear, because Robert was off bird watching in the hide with Jim,
yeah,
wasn't he? And then Linda cooked up vegetable hot pot, at which point Justin said he would rather eat roadkill. That's no way to talk about Matt Crawford.
And then they had this conversation where Linda called him a cloth-eared Philistine because he's not into the arts, is he? Obviously, as an arch Tory, why would you be down with anything cultural?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? She said that they don't see eye to eye on politics, religion and the arts. So I wonder how their politics and their religious views differ.
Yes. And then they realised that they do have something in common, which is being absolute twats.
Yes.
At manipulating people.
Yeah, because she said that she just harasses people until they break and bend to her will. Also, I thought she's a bit like David because she said the clue is to know when to badger. David's quite keen on that, isn't he?
It was all horrible. I didn't like it at all. They're like, and then you go in for the kill. And the fact that they were bonding over something hideous.
Yeah. I mean, that confirmed all the worst elements of both characters. Mm. And it was meant to be the common ground that they found.
And because Lillian said, oh, I wanted you two to get along, but now I think I've created a double-headed monster.
Have they been swimming in the Am near where Brian put some chemicals? Or in Rose's paddling pool? Yeah. One of the two. If we wish to cajole people into leaving us a 5-star review, Kerry.
Yes, Matthew.
How do we do that?
Well, we've got 3 5-star reviews, actually. The instructions to do so are always on our pod information. There's actually a lovely little description of how you can go and make a 5-star review happen with words. And we've had 3, a flurry. We had Charlotte, who I've already mentioned, wanting to know about the sewage crisis. Hart, which is H-E-R-T 2930. They said that we're a perfect reality check on how little sense any of the Archers makes.
I'll take that.
Yeah. And they've been listening to the Archers for 6 years and they've only just discovered that there are fan podcasts about the stupid programme. And then Brian Holding, lovely Buggy Swires, he has written a novel of a 5-star review. It's absolutely brilliant. So do go and have a look at it. Thank you so much, Brian. We're the provisional wing of the Archers fan podcasts, apparently.
Oh, definitely have to go and check that out too. There is another way you can show your appreciation to us as well as writing a review. The reviews help us kind of reach out a little bit to other people who might not know we exist. We now have a Patreon, which Peter spoke about last week. We provide a link in the podcast description, but it's www.patreon.com/thesidershed. And it's just a way of showing a little bit of support for the three of us. We've got a 3-tiered system, haven't we? We've got Tracy's Piggy Bank. Mm-hmm. We've got Buy Us a Pint, which is effectively Buy Us a Pint in the Ball. And then we've got Peggy's Magic Money Tree, which I think is self-explanatory. But I think none of those tiers fit in with you, I think there is a way to manually adjust what you decide to send us per month. Because, you know, this podcast might sound like 3 outcast idiots that get together and discuss the Archers. Well, no, it is that, isn't it, Kerry? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. And please give us money for doing it.
Yeah, it does take a chunk of our time to do it on the... Believe it or not, it is edited.
Yeah.
There is some technical side to it. And yeah, take time out.
Yeah. It sounds effortless, obviously.
We take time out from other things to do it. So yeah, it's just a little way of saying thanks. So that's great if you feel like doing that. Patreons, by the way, will be able to go to Patreon and listen to the podcast ad-free if you so wish.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How do people get in touch on Twitter, Kerry?
Yeah, we're at the Cider Shed Pod on Twitter. We are doing very healthily, but there's always room for more. So come along, follow us and retweet and join the Archers hashtag tweetalongs.
Yeah, I manned the Cider Shed Twitter last night, which I was quite happy to do because I'd been temporarily banned from Twitter on my main account. So, you know, let's just say Lord Moylan has thinner skin than I, because I was happy to be called a bellend by Peter 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and Lord Moylan didn't like it. He got me kicked off Twitter for 12 hours. So anyway, if you want to get in touch on Instagram, it's the same as our Twitter, at the Cider Shed Pod. Numbers still going up. We broke the 500 mark, considering it was the last social we set up. That's good. And we also have a Facebook group called the Cider Shed Podcast, where you can post any weird and wonderful questions, theories, etc. that go up. I'm not quite sure how many will be prompted by this week. Our fantasy football. Now, I made a right dickhead of myself last week because we recorded on a Friday night and I told everyone they had till 11 o'clock the next morning to adjust their team, and not realizing we go out on a Sunday morning, by which time that was erroneous information. So if you're hearing this, it's now too late to change your team anyway. but just a little update on where we are in the league. Yeah, the most important thing you need to know is that Julie Fremantle was still ahead at the end of week one. I think me and Kerry are languishing in mid-table, and Peter is at the bottom with his team Relegate the Archers. He seems to have picked a series of players that are either suspended or have horrific injuries.
So is he actually doing worse than he was the week before? Did he get any points?
He got some points the week before. I mean, the other mistake he made was he went very West Ham heavy. With a team name like Relegate the Archers, you're asking for trouble, aren't you?
Oh, and we did not feature in the Radio Times last week.
No, we didn't. We didn't. Other podcasts, yeah. Other Archers podcasts that are available were featured in the Radio Times. The information seemed to be a little bit out of date.
But it did least, quite, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, at least one of them.
But I'm glad we didn't appear in the Radio Times. We're not the sort of podcast that will ever appear in the Radio Times.
It's unlikely, isn't it? Particularly if the actor who plays Adam has his way.
Yeah.
So all that remains to say bye, everyone, and see you on the tweet along, and see you next week. Bye.
See you next week.